Home prices turn around, and not in a good way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll get reaction to this morning's gauge of home prices. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down about 44 points right now at 11,119. The Nasdaq down about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.5%. Ford announced this morning its quarterly profit grew 68%. The company, which did not take government bailout money, says it may hire 1,200 employees in Michigan. Meanwhile, U.S. Steel reported a loss because of weak demand. Now to the analysis of Julie Niemann, analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So home prices, we got the closely watched Case-Shiller Index earlier this hour. It said prices of single-family homes fell in August after showing strength earlier in the year. What's going on?
Well, 15 out of 20 cities were down. That really says the rest of the U.S. is still sliding, and we're not working off this huge inventory. Right now, there are about 5 to 6 million homeowners who are delinquent on their payments, and only about 1.7 million have actually been foreclosed. So there's huge overhang here.
And I did see that the five cities that were not down were New York, Chicago, D.C., Las Vegas, and Detroit. Is that a sign of hope, or what do you make of that?
Well, Detroit basically is cheap. That's the lowest priced right. housing in the nation. But for the rest of them, you have economic activity and there's no room to spread out. It's the old argument about why buy real estate? Well, it's land. They aren't making any more of it. And all these people have tight land situations.
And finally, Julie, let me just ask you about foreclosure gate. Briefly, how might that affect home prices, this issue of documentation?
Well, the big problem is FDIC Chairman Bayer says we've got critical flaws in the foreclosure system. Of the 5.5 million filings they have, they still can't get the rest of it processed. More borrowers are just staying in their home until the sheriff knocks at the door, and that's on average about 8 months after defaulting. So they're living there rent-free. All the government programs like HAMP, scheduled to redesign the payments, failed. About half did it and half are back right. in default. And the banks aren't pressing the issue because then they have to go out and try and sell it. So who's making money? The title insurance companies, because the new problem is getting clean title. This is so far from over.
Okay, Julie Niemann, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks.
You bet.
The new NBA season gets going tonight with the tip-off between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. And our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports it's going to be another money-losing season for the league.
At Sports Value Consulting, Michael Rapcock has been reading the Wall Street Journal and making salary comparisons.
Why is it the investment banks pay the guys who make them the money, 37% of the revenue, but in basketball and other things, it's 50-plus percent?
57% of every dollar the NBA makes, in fact, goes to the players. And while Basketball Commissioner David Stern expects this could rank as one of the top five seasons ever, he insists the NBA can't make money on those margins.
I want to let our fans and our sponsors know that this is a sport that's going to have a good year, but it doesn't affect the underlying financial dynamics.
As a sports business analyst who's consulted with team owners, Rapcock says the NBA's projected loss of up to $400 million is real.
You can't support a team, a franchise, a league, if your player salaries greatly exceed your ticket prices.
The players' union is already digging in its heels and warning of a potential lockout next season once the current contract expires. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At AllyBank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
1 week till Election Day, and the focus for most campaigns remains jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, this week, we are looking at jobs, those that are growing and those that are dwindling. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill reports on one industry that's drying up.
On the loading dock of the San Pedro Fish Market in Southern California, commercial fisherman Pete Ansich and sports fisherman Greg Watson talk about the lack of a future for their industry.
can't get any apprentice anymore. Nobody wants to do it.
We're a dying breed.
Tony Vidovich is an old-timer. The retired fisherman sits out on the dock watching the few boats that come in. I ask him how today's fishing compares.
It's garbage. It's nothing, really, nothing.
They all tell me there used to be tons of fish out here. A hard-working fisherman could make a good living. Now they say fuel costs are up and the catch is down. These days, the government says fishermen make about $28,000 a year. Some make a lot less. Greg Watson is converting his 1933 fishing boat into a reggae boat for tourists.
I enjoy fishing. It's what I've done all my life. But you got to be practical. It's time for changes, you know.
He let his own son go, telling him it was time to find other work. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates the fishing industry will shrink 8% in the next 8 years. As fish stocks fall, quotas kick in, and pesticides and fertilizers build up in the oceans. Paul Greenberg is the author of For Fish, The Future of the Last Wild Food. I ask him if fishing is sustainable.
Well, it is, and it has been, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's really the ramp-up of industrial fishing that happened after the Second World War that has turned it into an unsustainable career.
He imagines a whole different world of fishing, where fishermen catch wild fish using hooks and lines and cut out wholesalers by selling directly to customers, the way small-scale farmers do in farmers' markets. That could help solve overfishing, but, says Greenberg, there's still the pollution problem.
The pollution issues are much more systemic, much more deeply woven into the complicated economic fabric of the country.
He says it's easier to regulate fishermen than it is to go after the pesticide and fertilizer industries. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, in Delray Beach, Florida, a bagel company says it's figured out a way to Brooklynize water to make the best New York bagels. Well, now the company is suing a pizzeria that it claims stole the technology. The pizzeria has countersued. And I'm pretty sure if this dispute were happening in Brooklyn, it would probably be settled a different way. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The future of the job market can be tough to predict, but the experts do agree on one thing: the skills the next generation is going to need to be successful.
This is becoming a borderless global workplace. Children born today will spend part of their lives abroad if they are successful professionals in the same way their parents moved to different states.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the job market of tomorrow, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.